An offering sermonette would seem to be an excellent time to talk about money. So I hope I won't disappoint anyone. There's an old English proverb which states that a rolling stone gathers no moss. And this saying was often used to describe the financial standing of someone who was forever changing his job. Well, if it is true that a rolling stone gathers no moss, then the amount of moss that I've gathered off the roof of our bungalow shows that it hasn't rolled anywhere very, very lately. So, we've got a lot of moss off the roof. I haven't got too much on my roof either, but never mind. So, seriously though, I wonder how many of you remember a speaker coming to the local congregation from headquarters to give us an update on the state of the work. Be telling us about the number of Plain Truth magazines going out in seven languages, each month. And the total was 7 million magazines a month to every country in the world. The success of the newsstand programs was also mentioned. Multiple thousands of booklets being sent out to all over the place. And the income. The income then, in about the 1980s, was something in the region of $250 million a year. And today, the Church of God in Wales is doing a work, but it's doing a work on less than 0.1% of what that money coming in to the Church of God, to the worldwide Church of God in 1986. The Church is reaching out to the world on that minuscule annual income. And it was estimated that at least 4 people read each copy of The Plain Truth in that time. So that means that The Plain Truth probably reached about 30 million people worldwide. In delivering this offertory sermonette, I would like to bring to the attention of the brethren just what the Church of God in Wales is doing now, and the stupendous amount of information that is making available at this time. This is because a work has to be done, and the Church now is doing a work. When Jesus was about 12 years old, he said to Joseph and his mother that he had to be about his father's business. The account of that conversation is found in Luke chapter 2 and verses 42 to the end of the chapter. Just as Jesus had to be about his father's business, so must we be about our father's business. This is imperative for the Christian life. I said that a work had to be done. That is true. But we are not trying to proclaim a gospel message to the world as a witness. That has already been done by Mr. Armstrong, who was the apostle to this end time. It was Mr. Armstrong who took the gospel message to the world leaders, kings, emperors, presidents, and senior government ministers around the world. God opened the doors, enabling Mr. Armstrong to visit numerous capital cities around the world and allowing him to meet with senior diplomats, high government officials, and national leaders. But the Church of God in Wales is doing a work. Today, with the aid of computers, the Church broadcasts services each week, and the potential reach is astronomical. When one considers the ability of the world's population who are able to access a computer and the internet, the reach of the Church today is utterly astounding. The Church maintains its own specific website, and visitors to the Church web pages have an array of information that people who are interested can access with ease. From the home page, one is able to download or stream the latest audio items from the current week's services. Additionally, there is the latest update, and the two parts of which are usually from Mr. Bowles or Mr. Henderson. Then there are the latest transcripts of Mr. Armstrong's World Tomorrow broadcasts and many of his sermons. There's also the link to the booklet, Just What is an Apostle? In the audio section, there are over 60 pages of links to the audio files of sermons and sermonettes going back to the year 2000. There is a section on the website that deals with the transcripts that are currently available. Literally a staggering amount of information. Add to that the nearly 1,400 pages dedicated to prophetic news. News items covering the last 10 years of world events, events which are surely pushing towards the end of this age. Then we have the section about us, that is the church, the beliefs, the restored doctrines, and the booklet Just What Is an Apostle. Even from this very brief overview, it should be obvious that the amount of information the church is making available to the brethren and to the world at large is staggering simply because of its sheer volume. In the Olivet Prophecy, which is found in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13 and Luke 21, Jesus went through a number of events that would form the underlying mood of the world's civilization, a mood that was to grow in intensity as the years marched on to the end of this age. Towards the latter part of the prophecy, one word came to be emphasized. That word was watch. In the account given by Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 34, a picture emerges of a world which is totally unprepared. We are told to watch so that we will not be caught unaware. The church individually and collectively must be watching on what is happening both around ourselves and in the world at large. The information the church is placing on its web pages show that we, the church, is watching and that we are doing a work. Here in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 34, we read the following words. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 34. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall the coming of man, of the Son of Man, be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. There are a number of indications here that should make us aware of the general attitude of the people of this present age. Everything appears to be going along quite normally, quite smoothly. At least, that is what appears on the surface. But look a little deeper, and there's a horrible can of worms, the like of which has only rarely been seen in the past, and certainly not to the degree that we see it today. If we are following the daily entries in the news in the church prophetic news pages, we should realize that the coming of the Son of Man is imminent. The church is putting out a warning, and Scripture says, "Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it." An apostle to this end age did lay the foundation to this house. At this point of time, the church is waiting. Waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, coming as King of Kings, in power and in glory. We of the church are waiting, hopefully waiting patiently, for that glorious moment that this day pictures, this day of trumpets pictures. The epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, does picture this patient wait. While the church is still making all the information available to this age, but given by God through his apostles to this end time, it's been made available to all who are willing to learn and what is in store for the end of this age. We are having to wait patiently. Waiting patiently was discussed in detail in the update of this last Sabbath. Here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, we find these words. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity or futility, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the sonship, to which the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we wait with patience for it. This passage shows that we must be patient, even as we see the creation around us being destroyed by greed and avarice. We know that the kingdom of God is coming. We also know that the kingdom of God is coming soon. After all, we should be watching, and we are watching, world events. Even as those events speed the civilization of this age to its doom. As I've said a number of times this afternoon, the church is doing a work. Each one of us forms part of this church. Each one of us has a part to play. Each have a role to play, maybe on our knees praying, maybe some other area of the work in addition to praying. But each one of us is part of the body of this church. The work being done by the church today is supported by the tithes and offerings of the brethren. In the second epistle to the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul gives us directions as to how we should give our offerings. God commands us to appear before him three times in the year, at unleavened bread, at Pentecost, and at this feast season. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, we read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As I've said, the church is doing a work. It is a good work. Each one of us has a part in that work. And we will now take up the offering today. And while this has been done, there will be offering music, which is from Psalm 147, All Praise the Great Eternal One, which will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied by Mr. Bowles.